This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch and I am joined by Danny Baker. Yes, he is back. He's had two holidays, one to St. Lucia, which he said was a work trip. The other was Centre Parks during the Easter holiday. So that means we all know that he's rolling in it. But yeah, he's back to give us some insight, which some people say, they spoke to me on Stephen, is saying he doesn't really give that much insight. He's just there for my value. But yeah, Danny, how are we? Are we good?
It's free holidays, actually. I went to Carshorton Beaches, which was rather nice. Nice little walk down.
Can
walk
I?
Down
there. You said no, before I moved to Wimbledon, before I moved to that area, I thought Carshorton Beaches was an actual real beach place.
That's just Carshorton Beaches is not a beach in the sandy beach. We're not going with a.
No, it's spelled differently as well, I know. But...
yeah, it's the trees, yeah?
Yeah, well, I didn't know that at the time. I was a bit stupid back then.
Well, thanks for the intro. Obviously, I am actually rolling in it. I've got my own house now, obviously. Got a child. Got at least £88 in the bank. So, you know.
You think you're rolling in with just one child? Try having three children, mate.
No, thanks. No, you know I've done well. But no, I'm feeling good. Centre Parks was good. I had absolutely no signal and I've had a virus. Do you know what you have? I don't know whether it's me or I'm getting old or not, but you get like a virus. It don't go away. It like follows you. Do you know what I mean? You get like a bit ill and you're like, when I was younger, it was like, oh, I'll just have a Lemsip and have a big sleep and I'll get rid of it. I've had this now for probably 2 weeks. And it's just hovering. And I'm like,
well, as you get older, though, you do more. So you're working more. You know what I mean? You're not.
Yeah, I am.
The children, you're going out. You know what I mean? 24/7.
I am absolutely
like my missus has been in London all week because she stayed over yesterday. So I've been babysitting the children for like 2 or 3 days, nonstop working 12 hours babysitting. Just too much. But if anyone who wants any babysitting hacks or any tips or anything, just
yeah. But also, Lee, you can't call it babysitting, can you?
Oh, you're not one of these, are you?
No, but you can't. I mean, me and my wife talk about this one. You can't babysit your own kids.
Her role is the mother of the house, so I'm babysitting her children.
Well, I don't know. Have you written that contract out? Why are you not the man of the house?
I am the man of the house. That's why I work 12 hours and, do you know what I mean, provide.
But what about, you know...
And when she needs me, I babysit the children.
So basically what you're trying to tell me is I babysit this podcast because I'm obviously the man of this podcast, yeah?
Anyway, before I get in trouble for being a new Andrew Tate...
yeah, or the old one, either or.
Yeah, well, I look a bit like him at the moment. That's another thing. I went to the barbers today, got my hair all done because I'm going away the weekend.
Lovely.
The geezer literally smashed off my moustache pretty much shorter than I wanted it. So now I look like Khamzat Chimaev, the UFC fighter.
Absolutely no idea who he is, but you do look terrifying.
So you usually have a question for me, or usually
I don't. And you have rudely stolen this away from me.
Well,
but I've
got one for you.
I need to hear it.
There's a story behind it. As we were saying, you said about as you get older. Is there things now as you get older that really annoy you, but you used to do when you were younger? So the reason why is that I was thinking about this earlier. Me and my mate Matty Willingham,
the Wild Dog. Willow, Jim Brennan. Jim, I love the fact that everyone of your mates, you go, Matty Winningham, Jim Brennan.
Matty Winningham, Jim Brennan, French Matt, always looks like he's asleep. Can't handle a Tuesday night away day. We were coming home from like Sutton once, and I was staying at his house, and we were walking down Garrett Lane. It was like about this time of year when it gets bright in the morning. So we've been out till about 2, 3 in the morning. I look about walking home, and we were talking about, you know, like Pat Ball. Do you remember Pat Ball?
I remember Pat Ball. Play for the county, mate.
Right.
Did you play Pat Ball? Okay, hold on. I know you're doing the story, but are you playing? Did you play Pat Ball and Roof Ball? Are you got to keep the ball up in the air, or are you strictly? It's one hand, one
Pat
bounce.
Obs.
Yeah, obs. Fantastic.
And we were talking. We're talking about it, not that night or anything, but we talk about Pat Ball quite a lot because it's a great sport. Should be Olympic.
I've always said that.
We found a tennis ball on the way home, as you do. Right. 4 in the morning, me and him found this wall on this kind of new estate, perfect Pat Ball wall, and started having a game of Pat Ball. But some guy at like 5 in the morning, we're playing for about an hour.
Yeah, but hold on, where did you get this? Where did you get the ball to play?
Just in the middle of the road. It was a tennis ball.
There was a random ball in the middle of the road, and he thought, great idea, Pat Ball, we're in. And he automatically.
When I had a tennis ball, and then we went past this wall and went, what a wall that is. Let's have a game of tennis, like Pat Ball in it.
I've never ever gone past the wall and gone, God, that's a good wall. I should do that though.
No, it's a good Pat Ball wall. Not a good wall, a good Pat Ball.
Oh, proper. Okay.
Yeah. So it had the OBS line and everything. It had everything. But, you know, not the OBS line. The line. What's that called? The line. What was that called?
Service line.
No, yeah. And so we had this mad Pat Ball game. Like, we're shirts off. We've been out all night. Do you know what I mean? I've got something around my head now, sweatband and everything that I found on the street as well.
It makes sense.
But obviously, at 5 in the morning, some geezer's then leant out of his window and said, could you two, you fuck off? Because you've just woken my little baby up playing like whatever you're doing.
So
we've gone, sorry, mate, it's match point here. Like,
it was fine.
But now I'm thinking, if I was putting my baby down and two melons turned up half cut, thinking they're Pat Ball champions, I'd be absolutely livid. And that's that kind of thing. Like, how livid would you be? How livid you get with things like where you used to play on the green, like we used to play on the green outside our asses, kick a ball, hit someone's window, go hey, and then Big John will come out and go, I'm having your ball now. Where I thought,
you've now turned into Big John, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm like, get a life, John. Like, we're only kids playing football.
If
there was kids outside my house playing football and I'm trying to get Ethan, Theo down, I'm like, going ballistic. What kind of things now annoy you that you used to do?
I tell you what, I'm going to say this. My wife's next to me and she's going to giggle, I reckon. I absolutely love our neighbours. But for some reason, every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, it's like history comes out the wall. Such a huge fan of it. Love the music. I'm always thinking, right, what's it going to be? But me and my wife rotate. One of us gets like and again, this is another thing that annoys when people say, oh, they've had a lie-in. I haven't had a lie-in since we've had Dolly. The best line I've had is probably 9 a.m. And both of us, I feel like, oh, my God, we've left you.
Another thing, you don't have lie-ins as you get older.
No. But the thing that was interesting is that it was like 8 o'clock. And then I was sort of thinking, right, I'm going back to, I'm going to, it was my day to have a bit of sleep. And I thought, this is marvellous. And all of a sudden I'm hearing Kevin Little coming through the window. And I'm like, what is this all about? And it was getting loud. And he's got a young baby as well. So I'm thinking either it's what he uses to drown the baby out or he's thinking baby's gone out for the morning. I'm in my pants listening to Kevin Little. He's listening to Blue Cantrell, all the big guns, as we know. So that is definitely something that, as I've got older, when I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, go on, off you go, mate. And I'll just go back to bed. Now I can't do it. The other thing that's really, really annoying me, and I have to be really careful, is
you turned into the streets then.
Original
What's really,
material.
Really annoying me about you,
streets.
You see?
yeah. I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to.
Yeah,
I'm really finding it annoying, the woke crowd. I find it very, 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 very
cancel
irritating.
Culture.
Cancel culture. If everybody can't be involved, then we can't do it. And the big one that drives me mad is when you see people going, well, I found this offensive. What is it? It's a TV show. Well, just don't watch it. Like, you've got hundreds of TV shows. Why on earth are you deciding to message in and go, oh, I'm really offended at 40 Towers. Why are you watching it? You've got Netflix. Go and put it on anywhere else. But also understand. But it's similar to that. But it's also just understand that things took place in a different generation, just like football, just like everything else. And that they can only work with what they've got. The other thing that really annoyed me is when people get punished for things they did 30 years ago, when it back then it wasn't a problem. Like some of the language use that people use are like, I can't believe he said that. And it was like, well, 30 years ago, it was okay. We didn't know any different. Why all of a sudden, similar with retrospective punishment for tweets and stuff. Like I saw, I think it was one of the cricketers got done for it. And I was literally like, he's messaged this when he was 17. It was 10 years ago. And all he's gone is, this bird has done something. And someone went, I can't believe he said that. It's like, it's 10 years ago. Like, seriously, if he's molested somebody, beaten somebody up, sexually assaulted someone, I get it. He just used a stupid word once that was probably okay 10 years ago. Like, seriously, like...
Well, it's the Ricky Gervais joke, isn't it? Saying piano lessons and then getting it, ringing him and going, I don't want piano lessons.
Yeah, it's like... I think that kind of drives me mad. And the other thing I had the other day... And again, I apologize. For some reason, I feel like I'm on a soapbox now. I really hate people preaching at me about religion in particular. We got a guy who's at work who's honestly the nicest friend in the world, but I'm not going to say he's part of the God Squad, but he is. He's very, very religious.
Cancelled
out. Get out. Get Baker out. But it was just kind of like he was sort of talking about, well, you know, you have to do this and do that, and I was like, appreciate what you're saying, but I just don't need you preaching to me about something that I'm not as passionate or need to. I don't turn up and go, you support this team. No, you got to support Wimbledon because you've got around Granite Power Lane and all this. Yeah, I find that.
See, I agree about the preaching stuff, because as long as it don't affect me and my family and my close stuff, yeah, I mean, do what you want to do. As long as you ain't, again, ain't molesting children in your house next to me, then fine. Do you know what I mean? As long as you ain't committing bad criminal offences, then follow the God that you want to follow. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And then, or if you want to be go with whoever you want to go with, men.
Do you know what? Just whatever
alien.
Makes your world better. You know what I mean? Go and
yeah,
do it.
That's fine.
Just let me do what I want to do, and let me and my wife.
Totally different, though. Conversation to what I said at the start of this. Like
But what I mean is that wouldn't have bothered me 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But for some reason now it does. Like. Someone trying to tell me how to live a better life when I was 20, I'd be like, "All right, okay, yeah." It would just go over my head. Well, now I'm like, "Well, hold on a minute, mouth. What are you? Why are you trying to tell me to live? I'm sort of, and I guess it's one of those things as well that as you get older, you normally give less of a monkeys about what someone says. So you're like, or you're kind of when you're younger, you're like, "Yeah, I'll accommodate that." Whereas a bit older now, you're like, "Yeah, no,
well, this
what? I'm not doing that."
We'll move on to talk about Stevenage in a minute, but I was speaking to Mick Dore on Saturday, who runs the Alex in Wimbledon.
He does.
Really nice guy.
Always like the ratings.
From the north. Yeah, Scores on the Doors, we called him, and that's what a lot of people are calling him now, Scores on the Doors. And really nice guy and stuff. But what I love about Mick is his opinion. He don't care what anyone else thinks. His opinion is his opinion. So he says Will Nightingale is the best player in the world. I'll say, Mick, you're having a laugh. And he goes, well, yeah, that's my opinion, though. I think Will Nightingale's the best player in the world. And I love people like that, because it's true. Like, your opinion is your... It's like you, Danny. Your opinions on this podcast are literally far out and a bit wider the mark, to be fair, especially your footballing opinions. But
Are you joking?
So, anyway, we'll move on to Stevenage.
I find that offensive.
Oh, anyway, if people want to know, the Pat Ball, we took
Who won?
No, we drew, because...
Yeah. That's fair. I mean,
I thought about it the other day because I saw a really good pat ball wall. And then I just thought about me and my mate walking home playing pat ball at silly o'clock. The sun's coming up and then some guy's gone mental and ruined our game. But then I'm thinking nowadays I was thinking, oh, calm down, mate, chill out. But I thought if anyone wake up Theo playing pat ball outside my house, I'd be going mental as well. But yeah, fair play. If that was your house, by the way, it was Matty Willingham and Justin Newboat played,
yes.
Not me.
Yeah. So. Do you want to just while you're doing that, tell everyone about the story about you bet again?
Hey, he saw the Reading lads. Yeah. And he shat his pants. So, fair play. Anyway, we'll move on. Stevenage. So, I did actually go to a game. I went.
I watched it.
Did you watch it, yeah?
I did.
You were away on holiday, so you were allowed to.
Big time. I've been really, really frustrated in terms of the fact of how poor League Two has been. And yet, how we've not been able to make a bigger impact on it. And Saturday kind of was another moment when I looked at Stevenage and thought, how on earth are you in the top five or six? But again, it just shows that we have not got the we just make and this is the problem I'm having with the whole Johnny Jackson debate. I don't know we're going to come to it, but you cannot. The manager cannot be blamed for Jack Curry's cock-up. He just can't be. It's just Jack Curry made an absolute numpty decision. And it wasn't even the decision was bad. The execution was terrible.
It's the execution. It hits his shoulder, not
his head. He's tried to read it back and he's hit the side. And yeah. But that can't... And we lose 2-1. I don't understand. Because 1-1 against that team... Despite the fact that I think we could have been better than we could have played, we were okay. I don't think we were as bad as we've been in other weeks, but I think we were competitive and we got stuck in a bit. But it's just frustrating that we're at that. I don't know how you can blame the manager for that.
The problem I got with your first statement, and I've said it this season as well about how bad League Two is it really how bad League Two is? Is it really how bad we are, Dan? We keep saying how bad League Two is, we should be doing better. We could finish 21st this year, right? And we've been, I know people go, well, we haven't been badly beaten, but we've been beaten a fair amount. And we've been beaten by teams around us and been bit like Stevenage done a number on us without us touching a glove on them second half. Do you know what I mean? So we didn't have, we had that one chance where Ali, we long throw Ali turned like quite a tough chat. I think
right at the end of the game, that one
ended all over him. And yeah. And
do you genuinely believe, I'm never going to come to it, but there can't be that many teams in this league when you look at them and go, oh, they'll be all right. Like I don't look at any of them.
But then I look at where we are in the league and think we're 21st in the league. And everyone keeps saying it's a poor league. So how bad are we?
And I don't.
Is the management team? As I said to you earlier, we were talking off air about Marnie Little, and Marnie Little's now gone for the season. We could have done with him the next three games. Apparently, he broke down on Thursday in training before the Stevenage game. So why are we even risking him if we know he could be injured? Like he could get injured. Woodyard's running around like a headless chicken at the moment. All he's doing is fouling people in that second half. First off, I thought we were excellent. I thought we were pretty good. With Jana, best game I've seen him play for us. I thought he looked good when we got the ball down to him. Pearson was obviously injured, which, was a bit of a miss, I think, for us. We're still missing quite big players. And that's where I give you your joke regarding Jackson. I feel sorry for him that we are missing the Pells, the Davisons, the Pierces, the Callumbyes. But, yeah, I didn't get his comments after the game, Jackson, regarding he threw Zanev in because he's good on crosses. Jesus, that first goal was an absolute shocker. But they had about 3 or 4 chances against us. And I know it's 2-1, but they could have won that 3 or 4-0. Do you know what I mean? If you come out there 3-0 down, 3-4-1 after the end of the game. I did say on the debrief last week, I took my boy Jack, he's 14. He wanted to stand right amongst it, so we stood... There must have been about 50, 60 youth, from about 13 to about 17, 18. And then there was me right in the middle of them. And our fans were absolutely spot on. The young lads who follow Wimbledon now are brilliant. They were singing all game, brilliant new songs they were coming up with. The Jana song's brilliant now.
What's that?
You get it? Don't blame it on Moonlight. Don't blame it on Jana.
Blame it on Andy Roberts.
And then they sing, he can't control his feet. Do you know what I mean? Because he can't. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I love that. And I've also got to say what a fan base that we have, that we still didn't get on Johnny Jackson's back. There was no, I don't know if it was.
I haven't heard any Jackson out stuff. Well, I might be wrong, but I haven't heard much.
But you also don't hear any Jackson pro songs anymore either.
No.
So there's no Johnny Jackson's Yellow Army. There's no Johnny Jackson's, what was this song he used to sing?
We've got Super Johnny Jackson.
No one ever dares sing that anymore. And I thought it was quite. And I'm not saying it's our podcast because last week's podcast was a positive podcast. You know what I mean? We were remembering my friend's dad. So I said, let's be positive. And everyone went there with a positive attitude. I just think everyone tried to be positive. And then by the end of the game, it was just, this is Wimbledon now. And people were just, this is it. But I can't say it's going down now because Hartlepool lost.
I think it's fair to say we're not going to get relegated now.
But I did say this, like, why did Marsh not start if Little's
agreed
in the week? Bendel's there as well. What subs did he make? I can't remember the subs, but they were well late again.
On Saturday, we used Marsh after 15 minutes.
Yeah, because of injury.
Quayne Bartley came on.
What minute? 89? What? 84th?
Yeah. Jenkins came on the 90th.
Yeah, that's the one that I asked people on the debrief if anyone could please explain. The Jenkins sub on the 90th minute.
We threw him up for a free kick.
But then we played short. Dan,
what did you make of Lee Brown at centre back? I thought
he played really well.
I agree. I think I'm getting of the opinion that he's got Lee Brown Gunter as playing like we were talking about. We're going to play the inside of the either side of another one as a three. But I think they were looking at Gunter, Pierce Brown as up the three, and then having the two young lads going, and then they do those weird overlap bits. But
the two strikers for Stevenage were not really pace. They didn't really have much pace in behind Rose. What I liked about Lee Brown on Saturday, and we've said it before, some of his shit-housery sometimes is laughable. It's embarrassing. But there was a point where Rose tries to clatter Zanev.
Yeah.
Zanev gets a ball. Rose tries to clatter him. Zanev gets back up and kicks it forward, and Rose is just standing there. As Rose is standing, the ball's gone forward, so the ref's now looking up pitch. Lee Brown goes right behind him and gives him bang, right elbow in the back. I like that kind of thing.
Of course you do.
That's what you're going to do. You've got to back your goalkeeper. Yeah, but Lee Brown normally would have gone like, he would have got pushed and fallen over like an idiot. Where that's what you've got to do. You've got to go, right, you're here now. You touch my keeper again, I'm going to batter you. Do you know what I mean?
You touch my keeper again.
But do you know what I mean? And yeah, I thought he was good. Gunter, again, I don't ever want to see him in a women's shirt. There was no one said one, even though he probably had a good game, everyone was like wanting to boo him, but didn't.
I thought, apart from the first goal, I thought Will was decent, and I don't necessarily blame him for the first goal, but I think he's decent. But again, unfortunately with Will Nightingale, is that you're going to get 85 to 90% of the game where he is going to look decent, I think, and then he is always going to have a cock up in him, and it's going to cost you 9 times out of 10. And on Saturday, when I watched the first goal, he hasn't marked. And he's lost him, Piergiani, and he just goes in and does him. I wanted to also quickly talk about Jai Simi, because I've just not seen anything from the lad at all.
He's awful again.
He looks a bit overweight. I don't really know what.
Massively overweight.
He's not sticking around. The other one I feel a bit sorry for, and I'm a little bit torn with, his McAteer, because we kind of constantly move this lad around. He's on the right, he's in the middle, he sits, he's forward. Where do you think is his best position? And in his best position, is he good enough to stick around?
I think he's better. I thought him and Ali were the two best players on Saturday for us.
Yeah.
I like McAteer, the fact that when he gets the ball, he looks to go one way or one way only, and that's forward.
Yeah, agree with
that. I like the way he drives with it. He can go round people, go past people, quick feet. He needs to work on his shooting. Like, don't get me wrong, he loves to have a
nice
shot.
Nice goal against Salford, wasn't it? But
most of the time, he doesn't get him on target, which is a bit disappointing. But
Where is his place in Lee?
I think he's like
the other squad, but where is his best position?
I like to see him play alongside that DM. I'd like to say one defensive midfielder, then you have him, and then you have like a Harry Pell. Do you know what I mean? So you would go with, I'd go with Monty Little as that DMC if he was a fit instead of Woodyard. Yeah. Then you go Pell a bit further up, and then you've got McAteer, who's young and can just go anywhere.
He can go okay,
because he's young and he's got the fitness, he's got the pace. As I said, I like the fact that when he gets it, he just wants to go one way of it, and I really like it. Reminds me of Poundland Steven Gerrard kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
That crikey Moses Poundland.
Yeah, no, do you know what I mean? I ain't gonna Bernardo, say Steven Gerrard, because Steven Gerrard's one of the best players.
Okay, no, I'm just interested because I kind of feel like of the players.
And he's also got that shit Azri that I like. He was winding up the keeper, the geezer, before the penalty the other week. Do you know what I mean? He was trying to get the crowd going. He always gets the crowd going. He gets, do you know what I mean?
I hate the word, and it's literally the word I hate the most.
He's got potential,
He has got potential, yeah.
There he goes. He hates it, but uses it most episodes.
That's out of order. I find that offensive.
Also, that's it. And it's not to do with Stephen, it's not to do with Wimbledon.
Why are we talking about it then?
It's an ex-Wimbledon player. I just got to bring it up, actually. It just reminded me. Because a player with potential, because you brought up the word. Jack Redoni now has scored two goals and got an assist and brought the form round for Huddersfield. And this was a week after you said he was no good.
All I can say
and
is
he would do nothing. And
nothing. I love the fact that he is motivated by what I've got to say. I find that wonderful. I'm really, really proud that Jack Redoni is better, because I've said that he's probably underperforming. Shows you everything about me. It's nothing about Neil Warnock. It is solely about me on this.
Also,
podcast.
I want to thank the fan who raised that and mentioned that.
Yes, I want to thank that fan. And when they're relegated next year or this year, listen, if he, as long as he gets us some money in, I don't care.
Anyway, so I just want to bring that attention. Another
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Mistake you made.
Shall I bring up the? Shall I bring to attention the Josh Davison conversation about goals and how far behind you are, or shall I just leave that?
He's been injured for three quarters of the season.
Mate. Oh, of course, so, yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, fine. So yeah, overall, I thought the Stevenage game was. It was obviously disappointing. The fact that they are where they are, still annoyed at Steve Evans. Still don't like the bloke. I don't know what is this? Is it Terry Rayner or something?
Yeah. I was just about to say, I can't stand it. He's worse.
Not big.
He's worse. There was that time when Will and their player, and the player went down, and he won't even look, because I was looking at the bench at the time, thinking what an absolute disgrace these two are. Yeah, and he won't even look at it. And he just went mental at the fourth official. But he ain't got a clue what's just happened. What's his name? Can't move anymore. He just sits on the bench. He's that fat. And Rayner just bounces up and down the touchline. But to be fair, Dan, as much as you just can't stand him to,
he's a result. He is.
They do
if he
an
came
absolute
to us,
class job at that level.
And they always. And it's interesting because I always feel like he goes to places where he's got a few bob. I mean, he's got that midfield three. We're obviously after Forster.
They've not spent that much money this year, man.
I don't know, mate. Forster, Caskey, Gilby.
January they have, but summer they didn't. Well, maybe they've invested since January because they knew they were up there. So they had to put a bit more money in to get that extra step. But I'm telling you, at the summer, they didn't invest loads and loads of money. But then people probably will tell me tomorrow I'm wrong and they've spent like £10 million. But
correct. Should I just do that now?
I just want Johnny Jackson out of a job, please.
Is that where you're at now?
I've done it. I want some accountability, Dan. As I said to you earlier, we could finish as low as 21st. Who is holding accountability here? Is it the Don Strauss board? The PLC board is laughable now if you look at the PLC board. I just want accountability and why Johnny Jackson is still in a job. If you look now, there are some good managers out there. Cowley brothers are still out there. The Gizzo Clark,
Clark was at Port Vale, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's just got, yeah. And people going, oh, you want him now? He's fouled at Port Vale. I'm not being rude. He's got two teams out of League Two, Bristol Rovers and...
Where's David Artell? Did he get another gig?
No, he's still available. You know what I mean, and some people can't stand him, but I'm done him with Johnny Jackson's style of play.
There is, and I think I just
second
feel
half,
like...
mate. We didn't have a shot, did we? That, as I said, that one from Ali, that was it. It's the easiest second half the keepers had, and that's most weeks now. And I'm just getting done in with it, mate. I'm just getting done in with watching.
You've
really
got three more
football.
Games, and you're done, aren't you?
I can't wait for the summer now. Get this season. Right. But if we finish 21st, there's got to be questions asked of either the PLC board, the Don Strauss board, and Johnny Jackson.
Yeah, but Lee, even if we don't finish 21st, right, the highest that we're realistically going to finish, and I mean realistically, because is Walsall 15th. We're not going to make up 4 points in three games. It's very, very difficult. And bearing in mind that means that Newport, Gillingham, Drew, Walsall have all got to drop points, and we've got to win all of our games. Yeah. We've got Swindon, Tranmere, and we've got Grimsby. We're literally almost next to each other.
Swindon are in dire form. Tranmere are in dire form. Grimsby are in decent form. So we'll lose the next two and then probably beat Grimsby last game.
Even if we won two back-to-back, the likelihood is we're not going to be above 16th.
I'm just, as I said, his subs are baffling. I don't like him anymore. I think he's a shit manager, shit tactically, shit. He's got decent hair, and that's about it.
He does have decent hair.
And I just don't get... We were talking about this the other day. I know we're going off subject because we'll move on in a minute. But me and my mates were talking about Craig Cope and the head of football operations, some of the work that he's been doing behind the scenes. Apparently, it's meant to be really good. We've got three players apparently already pre-contract signed. I don't know how true that is. Apparently, he's not messing about behind the scenes. He knows who's up for contract, what people earn money wise, what people in a lot across non-league earn, across the football league earn. And he apparently he's going to be he's meeting people. That Andy Fulham interviewed the other day, he went up there and what's going on. I don't get how our head of football operations and Johnny Jackson are a par. The head of football operations should be above. Also, what I don't get is the PLC board and Mike Buckley choose who our manager is. They choose when to sack Johnny Jackson.
Yeah, that's weird.
Shouldn't it be Craig Cope who chooses when to sack Johnny Jackson? Because he's the man who knows about football. He's the head of football operations. Also, say Johnny Jackson went, who's going to be... Like previously, it was the PLC board and Mike Buckley who chose the next manager. Hopefully, that ain't going to happen this time. It would be Craig Cope who chooses the next manager. And also, Craig Cope's now working with a man that he didn't choose. It ain't his man. He might have chose it now. He might say, yeah, I want to work with Johnny Jackson. But someone needs to come out and say that then. Someone needs to come out and say Craig Cope's happy to work with Johnny Jackson. Or say something, because Craig Cope should be above Johnny Jackson in the pecking order.
And do you feel that the Andy Thorne conversation, or him coming in, is that loaded a bit, do you think?
No.
He's a head scout. He's been manager at Coventry managed.
I think he's a head scout. He's been working at Celtic as a consultant.
And he's not even being remotely looked at as a potential.
No, because I don't think he's done loads of great stuff as man. I think he does really good work as a scout. I think Celtic, as much as I hate to say it, being a Rangers man, they've signed some really good players. Do you know what I mean? They've got Riley from MK, who's decent. They've got the Japanese through, probably Ange Postecoglou probably knew more about them than Form, but yeah, sure, he was up there as a consultant. I think he'd done well wherever. I think he was at West Brom before, and I think he's done really well as a scout, and that's probably the best move for him. We needed a head scout. Cope sorted that out straight away. We are in a good position off the pitch with Danny Macklin and Craig Cope. We're not very good on it, and I think that stems with a manager. And yep. And we're releasing season tickets Friday, today as this goes out, and the prices, and I think that's going to be a big shock to people, and I can't see many people renewing if Johnny Jackson's still in charge, but we might be wrong. Anyway, let's move on.
All right.
And we'll come back. When we come back, we'll discuss our predictions for next season and the rest of this season now, who we think might come out through the conference and drop downs kind of thing. So see you in a bit.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing some predictions for next year and the rest of this year. What predictions did you want to go through, Danny? What did you want to speak about? Did you want to go through?
I was going to talk a little bit about, I was going to go for, obviously, conference coming up, which is not, I don't think there's a huge amount to talk to, but also see where we think them teams are going to do. The teams that go down in our league, do we think they're going to do anything? The teams that we think are going to go up, are they going to do anything in League One? And then who we think might come down to us next year and how strong we think League One was. It was just a conversation point. So I'm obviously, let's talk about, and I don't really understand the animosity with the whole Wrexham stuff. I can't lie. Where do you sit with them?
I don't mind it. I don't mind the fact they've been bought out and they've got loads of money to spend. I've never been one, you know me, I think if you've got it, then spend it. You know, if it goes tits up at the end of the day, that it goes tits up, and the fans who take that on board know what they're getting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do wish that McEhenny and Ryan Reynolds were our owners and they'd come into our club instead.
It would have been fascinating to know whether we took it though.
Yeah, well, I don't think we would. Well, there's rumours going around that we've got someone looking to invest now and take us out of debt for around about $9.5 million. That's going to be very interesting because there's a number of rumours going around, but one of them is it could be a Qatari businessman who owns the club that Asal went to.
Oh, okay.
Which, I don't know if that's it. Well, but again, that's rumour. I don't even know. That's take that with a pinch of salt. But the Wrexham stuff, my problem I have with the Wrexham stuff, and I do have a problem with it, is our press in this country just go well over the ball with it. Like the story of Rex, it ain't a love story. Like some guys, they've come up, do you know what I mean? They're spending fortunes for the league they're in. They're spending League One money in the conference, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Top League One money as well.
Yeah.
So I hate it when you listen to Talk Sport, you watch Sky Sports, and they talk about the fairy tale of Wrexham, where it's not really a fairy tale. Fair play to them. Do you know what I mean, John Green?
Don't you think it is a bit though? Like literally, not these really. Two random Hollywood people. No. I mean, they could have bought anybody, and they decided to buy Wrexham.
Not really. It's like you winning the Euro lottery of $86 million, and then buying a council house, and then making it into a £10 million house because you spent fortune on it, Dan. It's not a fairy tale. It's not. Well, then the local press coming around going, "Oh, look at this fairy tale! This guy council house to millions." Right? No, it's not. You spent fortune. They're spending League One money. They should be doing well.
No, I don't think people are disputing that. I think the fairy tale is the fact of you would never in your wildest dreams think that two guys from Hollywood, of all of the football teams in the world, they'd pick little old Wrexham. That's the fairy tale. It's not the they're getting promoted. It's why on earth are these two random guys from Hollywood picking Wrexham over anybody else. That's the Hollywood story, and that's the fairy tale.
I'm interested to see where it goes in a couple of years when they.
Yes, they'll go through League Two. I wonder whether they're going to give him back to the fans. That's what I'm always thinking. Like, are you going to get to where you get to, and when you're bored, go off you go, fans, you can have it, or whether they're going to go no? Because let's face it, they spent a lot of money. They got a lot of it back on Welcome to Wrexham. They've got a lot of back with endorsements and all the other bits and pieces.
Someone said, with the Wrexham thing. Yeah, you've got to remember how much money... They're doing a friendly out in Denver, aren't they, or something like that? Well, not Denver. Where is it? I can't remember. Somewhere in America. And that'll make them shed loads against Man U. It's when they get to, say, the championship...
If they get there, yeah.
And they're having to pump money in left, right and centre all the time. At the moment, they're getting the money back easy. But once you get to championship, it becomes harder and harder.
Yeah.
And you're losing money hand over fist... That's when, I do think. But
so obviously,
I didn't want them to go up, though. I didn't.
But I mean, you've got Wrexham or Notts County. Wrexham are four clear with two to play. So
they've got a game in hand as well.
There's 44. So Wrexham 107. Hard on Notts County getting 103 points.
I only wanted one of them to go up. I'd rather have Notts County go up. It's a better away day than Wrexham.
So Wrexham are going to go up, say.
Yeah.
Notts County look like they're going to go up.
Well, they're going to be in the playoffs, mate, so they might not go up.
No, they might not, but they're second place, which means that they're going to play the winner of Bromley or Boreham Wood. And then Chesterfield will be the other lot. They'll play the winner of Barnet and Woking or whatever.
Yeah.
So, out of the rest of the group, take out Notts County.
I don't want Bromley or Boreham Wood.
Okay.
I don't want Eastleigh. I'd love Southend to go up, but I don't think they can now.
Right. So, you're talking about Woking or Barnet or Chesterfield?
I'd rather Barnet.
Okay.
I don't like Chesterfield. They've got a bit of money as well.
I think so.
I don't want Woking because I've been there so many times before. It's boring down at Woking.
So from Barnet, a league perspective, we feel like Notts County, if they come up, they'll probably do okay, won't they? You think?
Yes.
And I think Wrexham, if they come up, I think they'll probably go all the way through. I'll guess.
Chesterfield could do all right if they come up.
Chesterfield, I think, will be decent. Did they sell Chimanga? They had a big depth forward.
I don't know if they...
I think they did, yeah. I think he went...
My thing would be, personally, I'd like Barnet to come up for personal reasons of... I like going to Barnet. I've not been to the new Hive. I'd like to go to Barnet because it's Camden. You can drink man Camden and go to Barnet after. Bournemouth and Bromley, I can't stand both of them teams and going to them. Bromley, Bournemouth or Woking coming up would be good because I don't think they've got loads of money and I think they'd struggle.
Okay.
In League Two.
And we obviously would rather that. But in general,
I think it will be Wrexham and Notts.
Well, I think it'll be Wrexham and Notts County, obviously.
And then next year, three teams that go up and three go down.
No, that's not true.
It is.
I don't believe you.
It is. It's two automatic and one playoff out of conference.
No, I'm not buying that.
Well, buy it, mate. I'm not selling it. I don't think
that's right.
Right. Well, the fans, please, at Danny Baker in the comments when to
take EFL relegation. Next year, see what it says. I haven't read that. I thought if I hadn't read it,
I mean, it ain't true. I never lie. It's one of the things I'm not.
Promotion relegation change up for debate.
No, it has been done, I think.
Is there relegation in the AFL?
Yeah, two up and then one.
I will investigate.
Anyway, right.
So we've obviously done that. So let's go on to our league now. We know realistically that Rochdale are curtains. So. Bothered about that?
No, it's not a great place to go, Rochdale, either. It's not very nice. It's not very nice. It's just...
It's a shame because...
Once you've been to Manchester a few times, you've done... You know what I mean?
They were one of the... They had that record a while back, before they got promoted to League One, that they had the longest time in one league. Like Rochdale were in League Two for a donkey's ages. And I don't remember them being non-league. So I worry a little bit about... how mental it's going to be, and that's only what 2 years they're in League Two. And they,
well, look at Scunthorpe now.
Oh my god, they got relegated again. Yeovil got relegated again.
My thing with Rochdale, yeah. I'm disappointed because, well, I think Rochdale is one of the places you go to once, and you don't really, if you miss it, it's not a big deal,
yeah.
But they've got a pub right next to the graveyard there, which is just around the corner from the ground. Cheapest chips, jukebox, and 70. No, how much? 20p pies or something like that.
But do they have a pool table?
Yes.
And do they have a dartboard?
Yes.
Well, then in that case, it's an unbelievable pub.
Double pool and 20p pies, mate. Unbelievable. Tasty. Buy back
for. So Rochdale obviously gone. You're talking realistically Hartlepool or Crawley. I can't see Hartlepool winning twice and Harrogate losing four games. I mean, Harrogate have got a game in hand on Hartlepool anyway. And I think if you're sitting from bottom, to expect someone to get 6 points minimum. In fact, it's not going to be 6 points. You've got to get seven because of the goal difference.
Yeah.
I think Harrogate are safe. So it's really going to be Crawley or Hartlepool. Who do you think? Who do you want?
See, this one, for me, is a weird one because Crawley, I can't stand Crawley. Love them to go down, especially after all their chairman come in at the start of the season. Or you know, they brought the Bitcoin boys came in.
Yeah.
And one of them said, oh, if we don't go unbeaten, do we get automatically put into the championship? And now you could be getting relegated. Hartlepool, me and my mates were talking about this the other day, and a couple of us said, we are bitter people. And when their MK Loney scored the other week against us and their Twitter handle went, the boys Don Good.
I remember that,
started
yeah.
Sucking off MK. From that day, every time they lose, I send, like on Tuesday, I sent Salford Don Good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'd love them to get relegated so I can send them a message saying, nationwide Don Good for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you know what I mean?
So who's going down, Hartlepool or Crawley?
Hartlepool.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I do agree with you.
Also, Hartlepool's an absolute... I love going up to Hartlepool, but it weren't cheap.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So you're looking at Crawley's quite cheap, quite local. We'll fill up the game. Hartlepool away this year was a decent away day. Do you know what I mean? Loads of people.
Nil, wasn't it?
Some people, yeah, there was Pyrosa. There was a party going on. Don't want to upset a few of our fans. I know they don't like Pyros. You know what I mean?
A pie roast.
Fun sponges at Wimbledon. But yeah.
But if you think about you lose Hartlepool, Rochdale, and you gain Wrexham and Notts County, that's already quite challenging. Going up then, yep. Leighton Orient went up.
Yep.
Northampton, 77. Stevenage, 76. Stockport, 72. Carlisle, 72. Bradford, 71. I can't see Salford, sorry. I think Salford are done in terms of automatic. Stevenage
Salford?
Salford automatically going up.
No.
It's top three. And
Northampton?
They are, no, listen.
Salford are seventh.
That's the point I'm making, is that the three automatic point places are realistically out of the top six.
Oh, yeah,
six.
Northampton and Stevenage. Yeah, Northampton and Stevenage.
Salford are basically Pittman Mansfield as to who's going to take the last place.
The problem I've got with that one as well, the three automatics at the moment, as you just said, is three southern teams are all going up. Orient, great day out as well. Love Orient. Stevenage is localish. You know what I mean? You can get one train from... And Northampton are local. So whoever's coming down, hopefully they're going to be...
And when we look at it, you'll realise it's not necessarily southern either. It could be a very northern league.
So, I think you're right. I think, obviously, Northampton, Stevenage, I think Stockport just got too much to do, and Stevenage got a game in hand.
I'm really pleased with Mitchell Pinnock, actually, because I actually quite liked him as a bloke, and I thought he was quite a good footballer.
Liked him as a bloke, didn't think he was that great as a footballer.
Well, that's interesting. So I think out of that, I think the top three will be the top three. Who is going to go out? Or who would you like to get rid of?
Rid of Stockport, because I think they've got a bit of money.
Okay.
They've got an open terrace, which is no good. Personal reasons, I love Bradford. A few of my mates are Bradford fans, so we've always...
And you'd like them to go up or not?
No, I'd like them to stay down, so that reason
okay.
I can
so
go there.
So you could go and meet them?
Carlisle, I don't think they've got loads of money. I think this is, do you know what I mean? I think they've struggled previous years. So, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And Salford,
they've
just
had that 1 year where it's kind of gelled from, isn't it?
Yeah, and Salford I've not been to yet. But then also Mansfield is still in the mix as well.
Well, Mansfield and Salford are, you know, very close. So, and Mansfield got a game in hand. But I don't think Salford are going to make the playoffs. I think Mansfield will do them.
Yeah, I do as well. They've got a game in hand.
And I think if Mansfield played as well as I've seen them play when we played them over there, I think they'd be quite decent. I don't see Carlisle going up and I don't see Bradford going up. So
I've not been to Salford.
No, neither have I. I'd be happy for them to go. And
I'd like to go there. So
it's also quite nice that they've kind of stalled a bit. They've obviously have put a bit of dosh in and they've gone up a bit and now they've kind of like, well, hold on a minute. And their fan base is poor. So, okay. So we reckon the top three will go up.
Yep.
Which Leighton Orient, Northampton, Stevenage, any of them going to do anything in League One?
It's a tough division. Four teams go down. looking at League One, though, you're probably going to say a couple of them probably could do it, because you're still going to have some weak teams in League One next year. Port Vale, Cheltenham's, Burton's, Bristol Road, Exeter, Fleetwood. Do you know what I mean? They're always poor. And yeah, I think maybe Orient could do something, depending. They've got a good manager.
I think all three are going to be in the bottom six. I don't see any of them lot.
I think Northampton will. They're a yo-yo club already. Stevenage, I think, will struggle. I think they'll go down. I think Orient are the only one out of that top three that could do anything and could start next year.
Okay. Moving on then to the teams that are going to potentially come down. Obviously, Forest Green got relegated already. Duncan Ferguson with his vegan pies couldn't do it. So it now means that Accrington finally get relegated, who they were...
Not
a team
yet.
It's tight for them now.
One thing I'm happy about, right, Dan...
Their goal difference is shocking.
One thing I am happy about, and people are going to go, you're mad saying this. I'm quite happy that Scum are not going down.
Okay. Well, because you just don't want to aggro play them.
I just don't want to play them anymore, mate. I've had enough of it. I hate playing them. I hate all the stuff that surrounds it. Do you know what I mean? If we obviously wanted us to go up and then we play them in League One, yep. I don't want to be playing them in League Two, because one, they'll come down. They'll probably be an after-season
team. And again, I think if they came down, you'd think that they'd be all right.
Yeah, and then they'll beat us again, and it's just embarrassing.
I mean, for me, if Forest Green come down, they stay down. Accrington, if they come down, they stay down. I don't think they do anything.
I think Morecambe,
if they come down, they stay down.
And Cambridge.
And then you're talking about Cambridge. I don't think Cambridge are going to do a huge amount if they...
There's one team I do want to go down, but I know what you're going to say. They'll be in amongst it next year.
Oxford.
But I'd love to see Oxford get relegated.
Yeah, I would as well. But I think if they come down, they're automatically going to be in that top 10. Again, it's all ifs, buts and maybes, but... I personally think the bottom three are the ones that are definitely going to go down. Yeah. And I think Port Vale are safe. So I think it's going to be MK, Oxford or Cambridge, realistically, with those final games. Yes, Accrington have got a game in hand and they're on 42. And I like them because I think they're quite a nice family club. So I wouldn't object, but I've always...
Morecambe is a great day out as well.
Yeah.
Forest Green's not a great day out, though.
I've never liked it whenever people have had arguments about, oh, you can always achieve above your budget and all this sort of stuff. And everyone just go, look at Accrington. And I've always said it balances itself out. You eventually finish where the money is, where you roughly are. If you did your average league tables over 50 years, you will work out exactly where you are, and Accrington would be near the bottom. So
I think you're right, because you look at the top 10 in that division. They're all massive, mostly ex-Premiership clubs.
I also think, Lee, for what it's worth, I do think it's one of the biggest sort of, it's like a league of two. Like, all of them teams in that top half are big.
Mm.
Like, I'll exclude Wickham, because I don't think they're a big side, but they've got money. But Plymouth, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley, Peterborough, Bolton, Derby, Portsmouth, Charlton.
I wouldn't include Charlton. I wouldn't include Charlton.
Okay, but
they've got a massive ground that they can't fill. Do you know what I mean? They're just all. Most of their fans have gone off to support their real club, Millwall. Do you know what I mean? So they're in a big shadow of Millwall, and it's pretty cold over in Charlton. But I wouldn't say Charlton are a big club anymore. They're a small club. They're smaller than us nowadays. So
you've always said that.
I have.
But So I think with all of the permutations and the teams that we've got, it looks abundantly clear that League Two is a very northern team, a northern league next year. So it could be a decent, could be some really fun away games, but it's going to whack the wallet a bit.
Well, as I said, making predictions, we need Craig. I think, as we said earlier, Craig Hope's doing a great job. I think we're going to be 6'4" plus next year.
Yeah.
Very robust. The football ain't going to be pretty. So don't think we're going to be playing free-flowing, passing around at the back.
Yeah, agreed.
I think we're going to move the ball very quickly from one side to the other. And I think we'll be aiming for a target man in the summer.
To play alongside Ali? Because I think they're just going to go Ali and Josh.
I think they'll go Ali, target man, Josh. I think we'll play them three up front.
Three?
Possibly. Yeah.
Jesus.
I think that's why we tried Ali as a winger when we first signed him and realised, fuck, we can't. But then people were saying... People reckon that Ali could be off in the summer. What do you think about that?
Let's talk about Ali when we get to Ali's section. Let's not jump above board.
Very good point, actually. We're going to be discussing Ali in a minute.
Very briefly, though, is League Two next year, better league than this year, or harder and easier league than this year?
Looking at it, I don't think it's going to be too different.
Okay.
Because the two teams coming up from the conference, both are going to be very good.
They're both going to be very good. Right. And the bottom two are clearly poor. So that's all you need.
But the four teams coming down, three of them at the moment we just mentioned are going to be very poor, I think, in that league. I don't think they're up. Right? You're still going to have you cut the Barrows and Sutton's. Sutton could have just done a one season wonder this year, I think, as well. People are saying, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think, as we always tell in League One, when you've got competition on your doorstep for players and we've got a better ground than them, we should have a little bit more money than them, we should be able to get better players than them. I know it ain't worked this year, but this is our second year in League Two. Hopefully we've learned some lessons. Hopefully. Do you know what I mean?
I do feel it is a league, a year of opportunity. And I feel like like a lot of years, I don't think it takes a lot to be competitive in League Two. I really don't. A couple of good loans.
Because you're still going to have your Salfords, your Bradfords, possibly. Both of them can't go up. So, do you know what I mean? They're still going to be in this league. Showing that Stevenage and Northampton have done it again without spending loads of money and just having a big side who does well. Mansfield always up there doing the same thing. So, I think the two teams coming up are going to be extremely good. The teams coming down are going to be okay. I don't think it's going to be too dissimilar to this year. And that's why I know I said to my mates about being positive for next year. I think there could be some change. I want John Jackson to be sacked so we have a better manager in charge to take us forward. But my mate said, we heard that this year it's going to be, if we went down to League Two, we'll start winning some games and we'll start being better, and it hasn't happened. But we have got Macklin and Cope now. So hopefully, my only worry, and this is again what my mate said, we're pinning our hopes on Craig Cope being this like messiah, do you know what I mean? We don't know, I can't judge him at the moment because he ain't done nothing.
No. Well, let's hope we as a fan base don't get, because I do find sometimes we can be quite radical. Let's just hope that we give him a chance to get in. But I do feel like we've underperformed in the recruitment over the last three or four years. We've always had the odd one here and there, but I don't ever feel like we've gone free player yet.
The thing about Cope, though, is he's under a lot of pressure, Dan.
Yeah.
Big pressure. Because it's been so shit for so long. If it starts being shit next year and these players coming in, we've got rid of, say, half the squad, brought in half a new squad, and it starts being shit again, we haven't got the patience anymore. Do you know what I mean? We're a patient fan base.
And I do feel like the patience is kind of got to the point where we're like, no, do you know what? We've had a decade. We have now got to plough lane. We've been here, what, three or four years? Or what was it? Maybe the third season. We're going to now need to see something going on.
Another prediction I've got is I think the investment chat will be put to bed soon. Okay. What I was saying earlier. I think we have got something in the pipeline regarding taking us to 50 plus one. There is someone there that wants to put money in. It's if it's going to be enough money. Yeah. And if it's going to be voted in, and if some of our radical fan base say, no, I'm not, so that I don't want money from that part of this world, kind of thing. But I understand the Tonnes Trust board are going to put it to a vote, and they're going to suggest voting for it. That would be massive if we can clear the debt. And also Chelsea are apparently going to be giving us some money as well. We had an agreement with Chelsea that when we sold Kings Meadow that we'd have two friendlies.
Okay.
Or they'd give us £500,000 if the friendlies weren't played in a certain time. Right. We've not had any friendlies for Chelsea, so apparently we've got £500,000 coming down the line as well. Okay. So
we'll take that.
Yeah. So it's all positive.
It'll probably cover this podcast, that.
Well, yeah, that's what Season Master throwing. That's what Gary Fletcher throws in. So
I mean,
do you know what I mean? If he's throwing it at United,
you know, we should spit the Todd Bowley and see if we can get a cool mill out of him.
Yeah, well, he fried away money, isn't he? So,
right, should we discuss how wonderful our Iraqi striker is?
We will. We'll come back and we'll discuss Ali Al Hamadi. He's a massive sack and he tucks it in his sock. So,
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, we're back and we're going to be discussing our striker, Ali Al-Hamadi, the Iraqi international who has come in since January and absolutely torn it apart. What's it, 9 goals now, I think? He's going to be our top scorer, I think.
I think before that, we need to say Eid Mubarak to all of those wonderful, all of the Islamic wombles out there. Eid Mubarak, hope Ramadan was successful and you had a peaceful time. Just chucking it out there, Lee.
Well, you didn't like forcing religion on people.
I'm not forcing religion on people. I'm just wishing everybody who's Islamic a happy Eid. He's been a bit of a breath of fresh air, hasn't he?
I like him. I like him a lot.
And I like
mad
the
how
fact...
we... Go Sorry, go on.
No, go on, please. You cut me off. You might as well get on with it.
Well, mad how we said on this podcast, stop playing him on the wing, play him out front, and he'll score goals. But I do have one thing to say. My friend Richard Cassells, he wouldn't know, said that he didn't think he'd score a goal this season.
That's almost as bad a call as I was saying that Josh Davidson's going to score 15.
I said 20, actually.
Well, the interesting... Go on. Yeah.
Sorry, go on, mate. I keep cutting you off, though. Go on.
The interesting thing is goals per game and stuff. I was looking it up about different things, and Josh Davidson's record is actually marginally better goals per game than Al-Hamadi, which I was surprised at. And I mean, that could be nonsense because I'm looking at one of these football websites. But I think he's been great. I think he's exactly the kind of forward that we need in League Two. He's a bit raw. He's quick. I love his aggression. I think that's actually one of the biggest parts of his game is his aggression. I thought his goal on Saturday was exactly what we need as a forward. Just take the touch, get it out of your feet and whack it. So I think he's promising. I'd hate to see him go in the summer. I really would. And I'd be really annoyed if we lost him, considering that I'm sure that Wickham have got a little bit of cash on him if we do.
Quite a lot.
How much do you think he's worth?
Well, it depends. If the rumours are true regarding Wickham sell-on fee, it's half, so it's 50%.
Jeez.
That's why Gareth Ainsworth was not. Remember when they had an interview with him and he said we've got quite a significant, what's it called, for this lad. We've got to keep an eye on him because I think he could make us some money. So, yeah. People were asking, would we sell it? Will he be in next season? I think yes. He's on a 2.5-year contract.
I agree. I don't see us
Unless
selling in the summer.
Something mad happens where someone goes, we'll give you 2.5
million. It has to be a championship club come in. I don't see a League One offering.
Also, you've got to remember that he was at Swansea, he was at Wickham, and didn't do anything at either of them clubs, right? He was a bench warmer. He's now playing for Wimbledon. He's played, 4 months, scoring goals. Looks like he's enjoying himself. Why would he want to leave at the moment? He's just signed a contract where he's probably earning okay money. So he's probably local for where he was at Wickham. So why would he want to leave right now in the summer?
Because it's football, mate.
I know it's football. And if he says he's earning, say, 2.5 grand at Wimbledon, someone could say you could earn 10 grand here and come here. I get it. But 4 months. I could get it if it was a year or if it's January. Yeah. I could say,
I think next January I'm worried.
If but he right keeps scoring now, goals like he is.
And I think, but let's be honest though, this is the Wimbledon model. The Wimbledon model is get good players and get the money from when they can. But I feel like there is another. I feel like a club at the moment, if they went to buy Ali Al-Hamadi, it would still be a little bit of he's only been doing this for 3 or 4 months, and I don't think offers would come in. I think there'd be more. Generous rather than we're going to pay the value. I think they're going to be like, well, look, do you know what? He's worth a dip in the, he's worth a quarter of a million dip in the water, but I think he's worth a lot more than that.
Scouts are coming down to watch it. We've had quite a
few. And they should do. And I think he's good enough to play at a higher level. I haven't seen enough of him properly. He's still incredibly raw, but what he does have is aggression, energy. He is quick. He can now finish. He seems to be in good places to score goals. He's not afraid to make mistakes. I think he's got a lot to offer. I think if he stays for the whole season next year and he plays some good... you normally go up if you've got a goal scorer. And I feel that what we do finally have is a goal scorer. So I think he's a really, really good player. I don't think we're going to sell him in August, but I'd be holding on tight in January and see where we're at if he plays anywhere near what he's been up to at the moment.
I think your point at the start stands really low. We are a sell-on club, and I said on the debrief that if £1 million or £1.5 million in the summer come on,
we have to take
probably
it,
have to accept it, because you've had a player for 4 months and you've made, say, $800,000 on him. That's great business. You can't knock that, and that's what we are. We are a business. We are a football club at the same time, but you have to look at the business side first. And yeah, we have to make money. So we got a sale for nothing and sold him for £1 million. If we got this kid for nothing and sell him for 1.5 million and then we have to split 50%, still great business for us at the end of the day. And then we could go out and hopefully buy the next Ali. We had a Lyle Taylor, we had Joe Piggott, we had Elliot, we had
Akin. They're just so hard, though, to find, Lee. They are
We find them. We seem to find them all right.
Well, I don't know if we seem to find them.
Every year we've had a decent striker, from John Main, Harry, Danny Kedwell to Midson. What do you mean?
Well, I think the question was, we've had a striker. You can't tell me that the year we got relegated with Ollie Palmer, that we had a gun forward. We didn't.
Well, we wouldn't have got relegated if we had kept Ollie Palmer.
Well, I don't disagree, but we wouldn't have stayed up because of Ollie Palmer. We would have stayed up because of
Ollie
having
Palmer.
A slight... No, I don't think he...
But you just said think we would have got relegated if we had kept Ollie Palmer.
I don't think... I think having Ollie Palmer keeps us up. But what I mean is, I don't think he is as good a striker. Put it this way. In each year we've had in the Football League, if we look at who was our striker... Our main striker in each of them 10 years, Ollie Palmer would be the worst of all of the players.
I agree.
Midson,
but...
Taylor, Elliot, Ali Hal Hannity now. He would be the worst main. Piggott, he would be the worst of all of them.
We stay
and
up.
I'm not slagging him off.
We stay
I'm
up
just
in League
that
One
he's
if
not
we have Ali.
Yes, I think, well, as with the form that we've got, had we had him last year, I would agree, yeah.
I also think that Ali's the best striker that we've ever had.
That you can't. How can you say that?
I think he's better than Joe Piggott.
How can he say that and keep a straight face?
I think he's better.
I don't
Joe
understand
Piggott.
It. I don't I understand how you can say that after.
He's better than Joe Piggott.
But in 4 months,
he's better than Joe Piggott. He's better than Lyle Taylor.
No, I'm sorry, no.
Yeah.
It can't. That is a ludicrous statement.
So say in the summer, someone says, right, Forest say, we want Ali, but we'll swap you Lyle Taylor. What are you doing?
At the moment, I'm listening to the conversation, seeing what I want to do. But
I'm saying Ali, thanks. Keep
well, now, yeah, because Lyle Taylor's probably a little bit older. But Lyle Taylor in his pomp versus Ali in his pomp.
Ali.
I don't know. I'm sorry, no. No, Lyle Taylor was just...
He weren't magnificent.
Lyle Taylor, the year we got promoted, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he was, when we got promoted, an incredibly talented League One striker.
Ali next season's a 20-plus goal scorer.
Lyle Taylor was never
a 20-plus goal scorer.
I'm sure he scored 20 goals for us when we got promoted.
I don't think he did.
Well, let's get this looked at.
I'm looking at it right now.
Well, don't, because I'm looking at it as well.
Where do you say, because again, Scores on the Doors thinks that Ali is the best striker in League Two now, currently?
I think that's an interesting comment. In terms of quality, yeah, I can't see a huge amount of people being better than
You're
him.
You're lucky.
Of course, I'm not lucky at all.
You got 20 in League Two in 2015-2016.
Thank you. When you're ready to apologise, to listen.
That was league goals. When 23 that season.
Yeah, right. So
well,
you,
I think
you
Ali,
go, are you
I think
going
Ali
to
will
apologize?
Get 21.
Are you going to apologise, yes or no?
No, because I think Ali will score more than 20 next year for us.
Lyle Taylor was not just an unbelievable striker. Lyle Taylor was a talisman. He was a personality.
Ali's a personality.
I'm not disagreeing with it, but Lyle Taylor was and is one at that time a proven season after season.
No, he wasn't
thought.
Proven at
yes,
that time when
was.
We signed him.
No, 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 not when we signed him.
Not that first season when he scored 20 goals.
But the time, but when it wasn't the first season we had him that he scored the 20 goals. We had him in season before.
I think you're wrong there as well.
I'm not wrong. I'm definitely not wrong there. We had Lyle Taylor for a year before we got promoted. He was not. He just didn't turn up, and we got promoted. Definitely not. He had a season before where we kind of muddled around, and then we went big, and we got Akinfenwa, and then we went.
No,
lively.
You're talking rubbish.
It can't be. I don't.
His
I
first season, he scored 20 goals. Then the second season, he scored 10.
His very first season with Wimbledon, he scored 20 goals.
Yes,
and we got promoted.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I am. I'm.
Then,
I'm
then he scored
amazed.
10 in League One, and then he scored 14 in League One, and then he went to Charlton. And then
I just feel like
because he realised they were a shit club.
As an all-round player, I feel like Lyle Taylor is definitely better than Ali Alhamadi at the moment.
No,
but you're wrong. I'm saying that if he has another 6 months of playing as well as he has done, we can have another conversation. But again, similar with Piggott, scored a lot of goals. As football players, I feel like Piggott and Taylor are more rounded, but I feel like Alhamadi's pace is brilliant. I think he's a good player, but again, right now, if you're saying we've got one match to go, we need to stay up, you can pick Piggott, you can pick Alhamadi, or you can pick Taylor. I'm picking Piggott and Taylor at the moment over Alhamadi.
I'm picking Ali and Josh Davison.
That's why you're never going to take over from Johnny Jackson.
No one's going to take over Johnny Jackson. That bricks here forever.
What an impact. What an impact. What a good signing.
Is he the best in this league? Currently.
Well, it's always going to be difficult to go against the guys who have scored goals. So, like Andy Cook, the fat lad at Bradford, scores goals for fun. Guy at Barrow did a decent job. Christian Dennis at Carlisle, who I don't overly rate, but he just scored goals.
Hoskins at Northampton.
Yeah, he's another one, though, that League Two does well, League One doesn't. League Two does well, League One doesn't. He's a solid performer for them. He's been there ages as well. I think he's definitely, for me...
Mad, there's Armstrong. Harrogate's got 15 goals this year, and they're probably getting relegated.
I think
Hoskins,
he's in the top.
Dennis.
Yeah.
I'd put Ali up there with them.
I agree.
Reggie's got 14 goals this year. I thought he's a horrendous striker.
And again, like I said, but that's what I'm saying, is that there are people in that league who haven't... Okay, I'm going around the houses. I think Ali Alhamadi is in the top five strikers in our league. I don't think anyone really can argue that. And I think that's a fair reflection of what he's doing at the moment with what he's had since he's been up front. When he was as a winger and stuff, I think he was a lot less effective. I think he's growing into what he's doing. The summer, unfortunately, is coming too soon for him, because I think he's just found his way and is really playing good football. And I feel like if he plays anywhere near as good as it was next year with a potential other forward, we have got something which is of the envy of many football teams. Well, we've got two, in my opinion, good quality League Two strikers who are, both of them, you feel are comfortably going to score double figures.
I was going to say, you fancy Josh to get at least 10. You know what I mean? He would have got 10 plus this year if he'd been fit for the last three games. He'd have scored one more goal. Right,
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Don't cut me off, right?
I'm not
going
to.
You were going to.
I was trying to argue with you and I couldn't.
10, right, at least in the season. And I think you've got Ali now where we could get 20 to 25 goals.
No.
What?
But I think between them, there's 30 goals between them, yeah.
Well, that's what I just said.
But you went 20 to 25 goals just him, and I'm thinking...
20 goals for Ali, 10 for Davidson, that's 30, Dan. You're a teacher, aren't you?
Big time. But
maths, isn't it?
No, I tell you what, it's a right result. It's not maths. Yeah. But I just feel like that 20-goal mark is such a monumental mark to get to. Because I think the moment you get to 20 goals in a season, you are now a serious, serious forward.
He's the league to Haaland.
Why not? Why not?
If he carries on the form, if he had played all season and carried on that form, he'd be literally...
Well, I think he's really good. I think I think he's better than Midson was. I think Midson was a great all-round player and a run-around, but as an attacker, Ali Alhamadi is frightening. And I feel Mitchell was a really clever player. Work he made up with endeavour and hard work and little skillful touches and good runs. But I think Al Hamadi is just like a real big monster, and he's obviously young. So I think that we'll have him up to January next year.
And he's got that Scouse temperament.
He has, which again I like. I like the aggression.
Yeah,
it's just a shame because I think him and Asau together would have been a really nice mix. I think Al Hamadi has been good. I think, if I'm honest, I think he's a shoo-in for player of the year.
This year?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see anyone getting near him apart from maybe Chislett.
Jack Curry, maybe. But then Jack Curry's dropped off.
He's dropped off massively after January. And I feel like Davison would have been up there. Zanev, no. I feel like, for me, if you're asking me right now who would be my player of the year, it would have been Curry first half of the year. It would have been Huss if he was fit. He's not. Hell would have been in and around it. But for me, it would be Ali Al Hamadi.
I want to just say to everyone, if you are voting for the player of the year, please, everyone, vote for Paul Osu, just to show what a sham the Player of the Year awards are, because Paul Osu is in the voting. You can vote for Paul Osu, even though I think he only made one appearance. Also, I don't think any players, other than probably Ali, who only just joined us in January, I can never vote for someone who's only joined in January for Player of the Year. So please just vote for Paul Osu, just to show the rest of the squad what a bunch of mugs they've been this year, a bunch of wasters they are. Vote for Paul Osu, the main man, and get him to win the Player of the Year. That'd be my laugh.
Who's getting promoted with Northampton? How mad's that?
Paul Osu, League One this year.
It could be League One, Paul Osu. Anyway.
Danny Ali, I nearly called him. Don't want that, do we? Ali Al Hamadi, the best striker in League Two next year, Player of the Year next year, League Two Player of the Year next year, the new Erling Haaland of League Two as well. So, and as I said, better than Lyle Taylor. We'll finish it on there, and when I come back, we'll discuss the big game on Saturday against Swindon.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Last part of tonight's episode, or today's episode, depending on when you listen. This is going to be the preview of Swindon. Do you really care anymore, Danny?
What about life or about the Swindon game?
Just talk about your dinner choices. We know you don't care about life anymore.
Hey, Harrington's pie mash on Saturday. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, yeah. Very, very excited
about
that.
Good choice. Love it.
Yes, I am interested in the game. I'm obviously going. Very excited about it. But I'm more excited about the fact of I'm looking for the players that might be playing.
I think we're going to have a little bit of a stronger squad on Saturday.
We've got to play Bendall these next three, in my opinion. If we're not going to get relegated, at least give yourself a chance. We're going to play these young kids. I'd be playing Jenkins. I'd be playing.
He won't.
Bendall, and I'd be playing loads of other players. I'd pick two players and say, we're going to play around you. I'd say to Billa, get on the beach. I'd say to Pell, get on the ball. Maybe Pell not, actually. But I'd be telling Billa, no, I want you doing all your work. I want you ready for August, please. So get lost. Go and get fit. And I'd be saying to Davison as well, you've done your running. I want you fit and blaring, raring to go for the start of the season. Get on the beach. But I'd want to have someone like Bendall or surrounded by quality players. I think he's going to have to play. If you've got no Little,
you won't.
I can't imagine. Can you imagine how deflated, though, if you're going to play Marsh and Woodyard?
He will. He'll play Zanev, he'll play Gunter, he'll play Will, he'll play Brown, he'll play Janna, I think he'll play the same team we played against last week, but Marsh coming in for Little. And that's what I mean. I think that's why I'm done with it. And last week, obviously, I was very, very positive and going there. I want to be really positive this week and say, look, go there, cheer on the club. The club, not some of the players. And if it does start going downhill, please make your voices known that you want Jackson out of this club. That's what I'm going to say this week. Because last week we backed them to the hill, didn't really get much back. We backed them all season, and I just don't think the club are listening anymore. If you want Jackson to go, start singing, we want Jackson out. Do you know what I mean? Make your feelings known. We should be staying up this year. We should. I can't see us going down, but we should stay up this year. Finishing 21st is unacceptable. And, yeah, someone has to pay the price for it. Someone has to pay. And yeah, I want Jackson gone now. I won't be there on Saturday, Danny. As you may know, I'm going to Germany.
You're going to watch some Fußball spiel somewhere.
I'm going to watch a team called MSV Duisburg versus.
I know him well.
And then I'm off to watch Borussia Dortmund versus Eintracht Frankfurt at the Signal.
Iduna
Park. Yep, got tickets for that.
Who was the game you watched when it was what they called the Penguins or something daft?
Zebras. We're going back, I'm going back there.
Are you actually?
Yeah. Well, they kick off at 2, and then it's literally about an hour up the road to Dortmund. So the Zebras.
Go on, the Zebras.
And then Dortmund, which I'm really, really excited about. Bucket list stadium for me, so I'm buzzing.
Have you been there before?
I've been on a tour there, but I've never been to watch a game there.
Oh, what? It's and what then on the Sunday, yellow wall, isn't it? The yellow wall?
Yes. I'm opposite that. I'm in the terrace opposite. Then on Sunday, I am off to watch a team called TuS Grebenovich, who are non-league side. And then I'm off to watch Borussia Mönchengladbach. So,
who are they playing?
They're playing Union Berlin. So, quite excited about that.
Not Union Berlin, no?
No, they're called Union, mate. That's how they pronounce it.
And who's going on this, lads, Jolly?
No nicknames in these boys. They're from Essex. So we don't do nicknames in Essex. Joe, my mate Joe's a Wickham fan. My mate Dan, who supports Ipswich. Paul's a Liverpool fan. And who's Arsenal, and Steve, who's West Ham. But yeah, so I'm off to Germany to watch football. So there might not be a debrief this week. I'll see if Mountney can do it. Oh, Jack Mountney. But I'm not really bothered about Wimbledon, Swindon. I really don't care anymore. All I say is just make your feelings known, how you feel. If we're losing, let the players and the management know that it's not been good enough this year. Positivity is drained off me now. It only lasted 1 week. And yeah, I've had enough of Jackson. I want him out. Terry Skivett, and I want you out. Rob Tovey, I love you. But yeah, probably time to go back to youth coaching. Do love Rob Tovey. I feel bad saying it because he's a Wimbledon man. Really is. Loves Wimbledon. His family all Wimbledon.
Yeah, but lovely fella.
I think if they both go, then unfortunately Rob goes and I can't see a new manager coming in and keeping him. Go get the Cowleys now. Go get Simon Bassey in. And then we'll smash this league next year.
Amen to that, brother.
You going?
Yeah, mate. I'm going. Looking forward to it. Haven't been for a little bit because obviously was abroad and stuff. Obviously, the players have missed me, so I feel like maybe I'm gonna add that impact, aren't I? I'm gonna turn up and give them that extra bit of oomph that they've been waiting for. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good game. I feel like we're going to get something out of it. I think Ali's going to score and get into 10, and I'll be delighted because I think he's really earned that. I'm just hopeful that they're going to play Bendel. I'm hopeful that we're going to be a little bit exciting and a bit aggressive. But I also have kind of got to the point with the year where I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going now for the day out and enjoying it. And then I'm looking forward to the end of the year where we can start having those conversations about getting rid of some people and just see where we go to. So looking forward to it. Always, always enjoy watching Wimbledon. It has been a disappointing year, but I'm hoping we're going to finish strong and I'm backing us to get a score draw against Swindon. I think we'll then play Tranmere. We'll do them over. Grimsby will just lose because it'll be a damp scrub of a game. But I'm really hoping that he plays the youth. So let's see if he puts them youth, the younger lads in, and we can see them blended in with some more experienced guys. And then let's see the fun of the summer.
I'm looking forward to another season being over, which is a shame because I'm always buzzing at the start of it. And then by the time this comes along, I can't wait to get it over and done
next
with.
Next year is when I'm like Den and Rodney. Next year is going to be... I just feel like we've had. I know I did say that this time next year, Rodney. I feel like we've had 10 years of being in a sort of struggling team. I feel like it's our turn to have a decent run of it.
Someone did make a point the other day, Matty, who we talked about earlier in the French.
French Matt always talks about his sleep. Yeah.
He said, "Since we started this podcast."
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I know. It's really annoying. I think we've been bad.
Well, I blame my daughter when we got relegated because we got relegated. She was born just before we played Wickham away Ollie Palmer equalised. Ollie Palmer scored, they equalised late. And I was like, okay, we're playing all right. And we never, ever even got close to winning the game after that. Ollie Palmer left, which, you know, I blamed Dorothy Baker. So she was blamed and she's dealt with that. And, she, and you know, now she's stopped pulling her pants and we're now in a better place for it. But, yeah, no, looking forward to the game. I feel like I'm rejuvenated enough to go to the game. I'm accepting of what's going to happen. And I hope you have a lovely time in Germany. Don't have too many, you know, what's it, Star of Primums or whatever else you're drinking out there.
That's Czech Republic, mate. I
always knew that.
Yeah, life.
Hofmeister.
Horst, I think.
Just keep off the baby shams, all right? That's
what I ask. I'm staying in Dusseldorf and just going to be having a few beers. What I do love, though, is the McDonald's out there do the McRib. Big McRib.
Oh, I remember you saying that before, yeah.
And German Donner. Salty chips, loads of beer. Good football. Don't have to worry about Wimbledon. Not really bothered. As I said, hopefully Jack Maltney will be able to do the debrief. If not, there might not be a debrief this week. But yeah, that's up to Maltney. Thanks to our sponsors, Season Master, who sponsored the podcast, Biofold Doors and Secondary Glazing, Gary Fletcher and the lads down in Aldershot.
You're all the lads.
And Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, Pet. Why aim, man?
Come on, you dogs.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.